inner hall of life.
Like the Marsh Madness, all these cops shooting a nigga tragic. Hold on, wanna live in lavish, like I'm playing for the Mavericks.
Welcome to the Inner Hall Uprising. You wouldn't be able to tell, but we're very sad.
I'm sad. That's Shanika. No, just kidding. I'm Sam, but I'm also sad.
I'm Shanika. So we're the Inner Hall Uprising. We are two
queer, black, feminists.
Polyamorous. And no, we live in New York City and we're telling you our hotels.
Yeah.
Our hotives and hotivations.
Exactly.
And yeah.
You're listening to this on Monday. Tomorrow is Super Tuesday. What the fuck is Super Tuesday, you might say? Shanika?
Oh, no.
Set of news or So Super Tuesday is a Tuesday during presidential primary season in which like 12 states have their primaries.
Uh-huh.
And usually after these 12 states have their primaries, you can kind of tell who's going to win the candidacy for either party.
Yeah.
That being Democratic or Republican.
Yes.
So, no, we're all the way at April 19th.
Yeah.
So we don't matter. We just
nope.
don't matter.
Nope.
but in honor of Super Tuesday and people talking about election fervor and hoes not knowing what the fuck are they gonna do, like are they gonna leave the country when Donald Trump becomes president,
yeah.
We're gonna do a whole episode dedicated to talking about candidatal whatever, make it up words.
Conditional.
Yeah, bullshit. That's what we're doing today.
Yeah. So if you're confused about what this episode is about, you know, so are we.
Politics and stuff.
Yeah,
but from the perspective of two hoes who really don't know that much.
You know, and it's
and a
hard
lot of people
to
don't
know
that much. Yeah,
I tried to know this week and just
know less.
Shit.
Know less.
I know less than I thought I knew.
Yeah, exactly.
But more than I ever imagined.
Exactly.
So. Jumping right on in.
Okay. Yeah, so we're just picking out some key moments.
Yeah.
So basically, this is like our version of Fuck It, where we talk about current events, but it's all election events and
stuff. So let's begin with Hillary Clinton.
I think we've got somebody saying here, we have
we
to
want
bring
to apologize
them
for mass incarceration.
Okay, we'll talk
I'm
about
I'm not a super predator, Hillary Clinton.
Okay, fine, we'll talk
can
about
you
it.
Apologize to black people for mass incarceration.
Well, can I talk and then maybe
yes.
you can listen to what I say?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
By the time you're listening to this, the Democratic South Carolina primary would have already happened, but
mm-hmm.
for us, that's happening today.
Yeah.
And so the candidates have been talking at events and stuff in South Carolina. And on Wednesday, Hillary Clinton was at a private fundraising event in Charleston.
Yep, $500 to get in the door.
$500 to get in. It was at a private home, a private residence. And she was just talking her bullshit like, blah, 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 I'm Hillary Clinton, white feminist, back me and stuff like that.
I care about black people.
Yeah.
I care.
I love Obama, my husband, whatever. Anyway, she was saying some shit. And this Black Lives Matter protester named Ashley Williams, I have heard that Ashley Williams goes by they.
I have heard that too.
So we will call them they.
Yeah.
This Black Lives Matter protester named Ashley Williams attended the event. Their friend paid for them to get in. And basically they were holding a sign that read, "We have to bring them to heel." Basically, that was all in reference to a 1994 speech that Hillary Clinton made at the time. Why are you looking at me?
I thought
it was
1996.
Sorry. I thought it was 1994.
I've read.
Oh, no. It does say 1996. So basically, that refers to an early 90s speech that, Basically, that refers to a mid-90s speech that Hillary Clinton made.
The heating pad on. That's why.
It was when her husband, I was going to say her president, but it was also her husband.
My president and my husband.
It was when her husband was trying to get a crime bill passed. Facts. Want to comment on this?
And it was in a speech, and she was talking about like young black youth,
like inner city youth.
Inner city youth being super predators,
mm-hmm.
and she was saying that we have to bring them to heel, which was like it's like a term basically means like get them under control,
mm-hmm.
and it's just like a shitty way to say like we have to
incarcerate them basically, and. That bill and many other legislation that Bill Clinton had passed under his era was one of the reasons why, like, mass incarceration flourished in the mid-90s.
Yeah.
And I think that under his presidency was, like, the highest incarceration of black and brown people, like, under any president ever.
I believe there was definitely a spike in, in, like, jailings and arrests. Like, I don't know.
That's actually it.
So they, or this protester, held up that sign and demanded that Hillary apologize.
And interrupted the fuck out of Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, demanded that Hillary apologize, and Hillary basically was like, you know, are you gonna, she was like, you have to say sorry, you have to say sorry, you have to say sorry, and then Hillary was like, oh, are you ever gonna let me speak? And
she was getting a little sassy there, like, she did a mild neck roll, and I was like, whoa.
Hillary?
Yeah. I was like, not my abuelita.
Oh, no.
She should have just dabbed and walked away.
Honestly. Yeah, and then Hillary would have won America. Like,
Oh shit, man. Dab on a nigga, like,
and then that's the end of the
dab on a protest, like,
because that's when you, that's how you like actually appropriate a culture. Yeah. Like, that's how you, like, appropriate and win. You use it, like, you use it at the right time. You don't use it as, like, a, look, I'm dabbing
now. You don't do it on Ellen.
Exactly. You dab in your private moments.
Exactly.
Once,
oh, was on Ellen.
Once Hillary dabs in the shower, then she can be one of us.
I'm just if Young Metro don't trust it, I'ma shoot your dab. Anyway,
where did this go?
I have no idea. Okay, so that brought about the hashtag Witch Hillary.
Yeah.
Which is basically, I feel like it's a lot of black people and black protesters questioning Hillary Clinton's motives. Because now she says that she's against mass incarceration and for racial equality and the uplifting of inner city black people. But in the 90s, she was like for jailing these kinds of people, which is totally contradictory to what she's saying now. Which Hillary is
which
it?
Hillary? Most people are just don't trust her. They'll think she'll say anything. It's like a bunch of she'll say like the meme win, of basically. Hillary's face on Beyonce's body, like the Malcolm X thing. Yeah. And it's just like off to Carolina, y'all. I feel like that's like a general, like, it's how people see her, because apparently, I don't know all the details, but she, like, when she was, I don't remember very well, but she was very, like, her campaigning against President Obama was
mad racist. Yeah.
And now, suddenly, she cares about...
I love Obama. I love black people.
I just want to improve upon the works that Obama...
Yeah.
Is, like, please.
Yeah.
Please, please, please.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, I feel like most candidates will say anything to get elected to the electoral base that they're targeting towards anyway, so I'm not quite surprised that she's doing that.
But there's,
I don't think
I
it's
like
out of character
certain,
for anybody.
Like, yeah, I mean, and I guess that's like a, I don't know, her just seems like,
don't get me wrong, I don't like the bitch.
But that's that, but yeah, right, but it, I feel like that's like an image like that Hillary has more so than like Bernie. Like Bernie is definitely like the his image, he's not perceived as someone who is that like shifty faced because of his history and like
word.
He was giving like a speech to Congress, the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
No one was there. Mm-hmm. It was him giving a speech to an empty room about, I think, something, I forget it. It was just some war, like John was telling me, and it was just like he had prepared a speech. Everybody was celebrating that they had like dropped a bomb somewhere, and he was just like, you know, this shouldn't happen. He showed up, no one was there, but he gave his speech anyway to an empty fucking
Everyone
room.
Was celebrating that they dropped a bomb.
It was. I have to have John fill the details in.
No, I totally
like,
believe
it's
that.
Like shit like that. Like I just don't.
Things like that disturb me.
It's not like we like shutting shit down, but we have to. We appreciate you listening to us and the audience holding space for us. But let me be clear. Every single day, folks are dying. Not being able to take another breath. We are in a state of emergency.
Yeah. So this is just one instance of Black Lives Matter people, protesters interrupting candidate speeches, rallies, whatever.
And forcing them to speak on a specific
Yes, exactly. Intention. So that moves us on to our next topic, which is just Black Lives Matter interrupts everybody.
Everybody!
The first instance of this happening was at the Netroots Nation conference back in July of 2015.
Bernie Sanders was going to speak.
Well, it was Bernie Sanders and Mike O'Malley.
Mark? Oh, isn't it Mark O'Malley?
Yeah, it is. This is the second time I've done this. Mike O'Malley was the host of Guts on Nickelodeon.
Is there a relation?
Wow.
Sam has no idea what the fuck she's talking about, guys. But she'll speak with authority.
If you guys...
Yes, yes, Michael Malley. Do you have it, guts?
Malley's never getting a break.
No, we don't even know that guy's face. He doesn't even have a face.
Half a face.
Can't trust a guy with a half a face.
That's so funny, Sanders.
That's another dude's face.
Exactly. It's not even his face.
Stealing faces. Like
that Michael Malley.
Yeah, so Bernie Sanders and Mark O'Malley. Well, at what is the Netroots Nation conference?
I don't know. You know, we just gotta. And you know what? I think this is the
and
moment.
Other podcasters don't know either, but we always like try.
We try. So that I think this
we
is,
should just not.
This
say
is an
anything.
Important part, listeners. So this week, we may sound a little ill-informed, but honestly, trying to get through how this fucking government runs, what people stand for based on what they say versus their history versus like their campaign pledges and their vague ass language,
yeah,
and like I didn't know what the fuck a caucus was,
yeah, a lot
for
of
a
people
long
didn't.
Time,
a
and I'm still
didn't.
Trying to figure out why the fuck they're necessary.
I don't get why they happen instead of primaries in some places.
Yeah, it what?
I don't know.
So we may seem like oh yeah, at this event and at that event, if we're vague, it's because we have no fucking clue.
Yeah, and you know what? You don't know either, man.
Yeah.
So stop fucking pretending like you do.
Don't judge us.
You don't know and you don't care. You're just leaving this country no matter what. You're just like Donald Trump. I'm leaving the country. You don't even know why.
You don't care.
You don't fucking know why he's bad.
But but if you know things that we don't know and you want to...
No, let us know though.
You want to enlighten us. That's you're very like, fuck you. But if you want to contribute, leave it in the comments.
Yeah.
So, just yeah. So at a politics. Speaking event.
Yes.
At a speaking event.
Yes.
Bernie and Mark O'Malley were supposed to speak.
Yes.
And were interrupted by two Black Lives Matter protesters.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess at this one, they were just like, we want you to say Black Lives Matter. And that was the one where Mark O'Malley was like, Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. Remember when he did that?
Nope.
Well, that was his response or whatever. So that brought up a whole bunch of conversations about, does anybody care about Mark O'Malley?
He was
the mayor of Baltimore or whatever, and he had done a lot of policies that led to the jailing of inner city Black youth or whatever there. So people were just like, nah, this nigga never cared about Black lives. Fuck him, fuck him. And then after that, Bernie Sanders' campaign had started to...
they put up their racial justice?
Well, they didn't put it up.
Or
he
they
added
something.
He made a speech in regards to Black Lives Matter after that, and they put up something on, like, this random wing of his website, but didn't, like, make it public yet. But, like, after that happened, he started working on incorporating Black Lives Matter into his campaign.
Yeah. which, you know, like, I feel like that might sound like, oh, he's only doing it because people brought it up. I feel like it's...
But that's what politics is.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to be like, this is what I want. Which you can't shut the fuck up forever.
Which I think makes... I think that's, like, great on his part, if that makes sense. It's like, oh, awesome. Here's a person who is actually taking, like, making... Like, not giving them legitimacy, but he's, like, treating Black Lives Matter, the organization, like, oh, here's an actual voice,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to respond
These
to
are my constituents.
Yeah,
I
got to address the things that they are asking me to address. In the way that they wanted addressed. Because he, you know, he wasn't, like, silent on race. Like, you know, he did have, I guess, like, he had a stance, but, like, if it wasn't coming across, he's like, oh, okay, gotta change it up.
Mm-hmm. So then after that, he was speaking in Seattle at a rally for just Bernie Sanders or whatever, and then two Black Lives Matter people again came to the stage and were like, God, what the fuck did they say? I think they were just like, you're not talking right now, we're talking right now, and these are the issues that we want you to address, like Black queer femme issues and things like that. Maybe that's the one where he left the stage.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Well, he left one eventually.
He's always piecing the fuck out.
He was like, yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Tired. I'm mad
and, like, as they were talking or whatever, people in the crowd were just like, basically telling them to, like, shut the fuck up or whatever, mm-hmm. and, like, it wasn't their time to speak and stuff like that. But ultimately, after that, like, right after that one happened, that weird thing that was on a random wing of his website addressing the specific issues that Black Lives Matter wanted him to address was, like, on the front page of his website or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he started tweeting about Black Lives Matter. He started tweeting about Sandra Bland. And then something else happened or whatever, but, like, shit worked.
Yeah, he started getting more... He responded. Like,
yeah.
It's legit. It's yeah. a legit approach. I think what's so... Yeah, so ultimately there's a lot of controversy surrounding how, like, BLM
say it.
Black Lives Matter.
It's always Black Lives Matters.
Yeah, you can't say it like that. BLM's like...
It's matter, but people always say matters.
Yeah.
Blacks Lives Matters.
Blacks Lives Matter.
Live.
But I'm going to say ultimately for the 15th time, yeah. ultimately there's a lot of controversy surrounding, like, the interruptionist tactics.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that up this morning. That's I was fine. Opening my closet. I'm like,
the interruptionist tactics
of, like, yes. Black Lives, mm-hmm. you know, BLM. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in that article, one of the articles that you put in the doc,
mm-hmm.
the idea that no one has, like, the place to really critique how they want to... protest and mm-hmm. be like, this isn't a legitimate form of protest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really strong article that definitely changed my mind about...
You're talking about the Imani Gandhi article?
I believe so, but I, you know...
The woman who was getting harassed by...
Yes, yeah. because a main point in the article was that, like, it's like a lot of forms of protest are, like, white-centered
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
and people focus on, like, how protesting in a certain way will come across...
To white people. Yeah.
How will it make white people feel?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just gotta be like, you just can't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because some white people will never care.
Yeah.
I'm about to tell a story that the white people not caring. These two people in the story, I'm not putting them in the white people don't care mm-hmm. category.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I was with my boyfriend, mm-hmm. his cousin and his girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
I was with my boyfriend in a car.
Yeah.
With two white people. And we were in San Francisco, and the Black Lives Matter had just shut down the Bay Bridge or whatever. Yeah, the Bay Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so uncomfortable sitting in the car listening to... So NPR was doing an interview with one of the Black Lives Matter protesters,
mm-hmm.
and just listening to that interview with two white people
mm-hmm.
was so uncomfortable. Like, what they thought was, like, legit, what they didn't think was legit. Because, like... someone came on air and was like, well, you know, Black Lives Matter, they're painting themselves as, you know, super peaceful and calm, but, like, things get, like, they yell at people, and it's like, and the woman's response was,
they yell?
Yeah, like, we have the right to
yell. Getting killed out here, and you have been for, like, the past 200
exactly.
years. And in a country you were brought to,
and, like,
against your fucking will.
Exactly. So it's like,
it might be
you have the
to
right
sometime.
To be angry. Exactly. Yeah. Like, all these, like, peaceful, like, every protest can't be, like, peaceful and calm yeah. and chanting
it's,
and singing.
It's the myth of
we're not all
Luther King solving
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, we're not all fucking musicians.
Spoiler alert, he didn't, man.
No.
He just didn't.
Obs
like,
not.
A lot of fucked up shit.
Obs not.
Yeah.
But it's not obvious to a lot of people. But in the car, it was uncomfortable because, like, when the woman who was representing Black Lives Matter was like, we have the right to be angry
mm-hmm.
and to yell if we want to. And, mm-hmm. like, the two white people in the car were like, I don't know about that one. And it was just, like, okay. Like, I don't want to be around, like, white people where they're weighing in on how, like,
black people
should
feel
or shouldn't
about
do things
that happen
yeah.
to black people.
I'm like, yeah, I don't want your fucking opinion on
yeah, right.
this.
Yeah.
Why the fuck? Like, and it's like, of course you have the right in your private time or with your other white friends
mm-hmm.
and people to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the same moments that you use to tell your racist jokes when no one's looking and to tell your sexist jokes when no one's looking. Like,
get it all out.
Use that time. And I was like, yeah, it is. Because I used to feel like the Black Lives Matter, like, tactic of, like, interrupting. I'm like, oh, you know, it seems, you know, I guess that's one way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally wouldn't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, well, why the fuck not?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Says the girl who's wearing a what?
fuck white privilege shirt.
Fuck white people. People's crossed out privilege.
Yeah.
I don't want to be harsh.
I want to be harsh. It just, like, changed my mind about it. Because I was like, oh, You know, and even though people, oh, and white people also be like, oh, but black people don't always agree on this tactic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
We're not a monolith.
Need your opinion
we're
on
not
it.
A monolith.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not, everybody's not going to agree on one thing.
I don't know if I ever would have thought of that tactic. I'm not even a fucking organizer, but I appreciate what they did because right after Bernie Sanders was like,
change
Black Lives Matter.
Exactly.
Sandra Bland. Let me lay out a plan for this.
Yeah. And by, and
it,
by
the shit
forcing...
fucking worked. Did anybody die? No.
And by forcing Bernie to come out with it, it puts pressure on Hillary
exactly.
to respond to
exactly.
Bernie Sanders' campaign. Because,
exactly.
So it's actually really
it pushed the
pushing
conversation. Forward. Yeah.
And they put their like their bodies at stake. Like what was it? Someone on the bridge, they were saying, from the bridge protest, mm-hmm. was saying that like her friends, her colleagues, her allies were handcuffed for like, up to, like, 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
Not a fun... It's not like people are doing this for no reason.
Yeah, it's not like this random, like, oh, they're just young kids get on a bridge, shame themselves.
I mean, people really see the stakes, and I fucking respect them for it.
Terrifying, and they're putting their bodies on the line.
Yeah.
Because shit escalates all the time.
Definitely.
Like, I, like, avoid certain protests because I'm like, you know, I don't want to be maced today. I don't want anybody to...
Cop flashed his gun at me.
Yeah. That
shit is mad scary. It's not
in and of itself.
To protest. It's really not.
Yeah, and like sound cannons, they can break all the bones in your ear
mm-hmm.
and be okay. Like,
rubber
and that's
pellets
fine.
Can actually fuck up your face.
Yeah.
Even though they're not real bullets.
Because they're
shit
still.
Can go down.
Yeah, so I just.
And then you have people who aren't actually the police, just random angry white guys who come to protest.
Spitting at
too.
You and.
Yeah.
Making...
Almost got spit at. This shit is not
you
fun.
You did get spit at by that woman.
Yeah.
Calling you aunt. Yeah, so people, yeah. I feel like have like been, I guess, criticizing BLM's tactics in, I guess, unfair ways. Like, I guess if you want to get into it about the nitty-gritty of, like, political expression, and mm-hmm. you're, like, wanting to, like, maybe, oh, maybe I think this method could improve upon,
mm-hmm.
like, that's, I guess, that's a conversation.
But to outright denounce it is kind of...
It's stupid and unproductive, and you're just, like, putting... really smart, bold, brave, and courageous people down for actually putting their bodies on the line for this country. Because it's not, it's like for black people, but what's good for black people? Like, uplifting a whole entire race of people is going to make this country better overall.
Yeah.
So it's really for you.
Word.
That's how I felt about that article. So I'm just like, back, not that I was ever off the Black Lives Matter train
mm-hmm.
but like it's like good argument fodder like mm-hmm. the moment someone's like oh yeah the Black Lives Matter I'll be like well nigga
that's how you always gotta start the argument lean back put your hand behind your head and say well nigga
and then with the other arm reach out and grab a small cup of tea that's prepared for you
oh man.
So much shade
to jump on that I just want to and there was like something that happened earlier but whatever I won't talk about it because mm-hmm. it wasn't exactly an interruption. The Black Lives Matter, was that in Boston? Was that thing in Boston? It was planned to be an interruption, but it wasn't an interruption because I guess Hillary's campaign did something smart and actually let them in to have a private conversation with her.
Uh-huh.
So you're not going to, like, interrupt a private conversation. So they just talked to her about some of her stances on police violence and mass incarceration and stuff like that. But basically, one of the Black Lives Matter people from Black Lives Matter Boston had a conversation on Democracy Now! And... they were asked by Amy, why is it that you're targeting, like, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton and the Democratic candidates, who are obviously more in tune with black issues than Republican candidates? And this woman, Donasia Yancey, said, yeah, but, well, every presidential candidate should expect to hear from us and expect to be held accountable. It's actually a practice called power mapping, where it's similar to lobbying, where you actually map who's closest to you on the issue and go for those folks first in order to force them to articulate their stance and then hold them accountable to it. So this movement is very strategic, and that's what we've been doing. I think that's mad fucking smart. Because those are the people who are... gonna do it if it gets done. Like, it's not gonna be very effective with like a Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. So you're really just wasting your time.
What is the point of asking someone about like the lives of like trans women if they're gonna be like, oh well, they have a disease.
Yeah, exactly. they don't exist.
Yeah,
they're
basically.
They're guys in skirts and, like, stupid shit like that.
What is the point of that conversation?
Yeah.
Unless...
You can't ask Donald Trump about black and brown people when he fucking held a racist campaign about Barack Obama's birth certificate and wants to build a fucking wall to keep Mexican rapists out.
Yeah.
He clearly does not care.
Where will that conversation go?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To a terrible place. I was gonna say nowhere.
Yeah,
but it'll probably end with you arrested somehow.
Yeah. So instead of like patting the Democratic candidates on the back for what they do care about, drive them to really like bring these issues home.
Yeah.
Because if you're gonna go for it, just go all the way,
man. Yeah, and the more you have these candidates speak about these issues, like the more that's just so much. It's a lot of pressure on them to.
Yeah, because the black vote fucking matters.
Matters a lot. A Democratic candidate cannot win without
the black vote. Yeah.
So
we're not giving away our vote for
it's
free.
It's powerful.
Anymore.
Yeah.
You gotta work for it. You can't do the dab, man.
It's
gotta be more than that.
When you dab in the shower, Hillary, let me know.
I mean, you gotta at least do the dab well. You gotta, like, do a whole sequence, like, a dab, a Millie Rock, a Hidden Folks, and then I'll vote for Hillary Clinton.
Then she's
can't
got
just be
me.
A bad dab that looks like fucking Heil Hitler. She's, like, pointing up
Did you see, there's a video of, like, a kid behind Hillary. Exactly. It was, like, this fat white kid behind Hillary who dabbed, like, perfectly. Like, he knew, he was, like, but it was excellent.
I didn't see that.
Oh, I gotta find it. Oh. So, yeah.
Exactly.
That's some insight into... Do you guys agree, disagree? What are your thoughts on Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
And, you know.
Should I read this endorsement thing, too?
Yeah.
Basically, so, I guess this was, I don't know why this interview was had, but basically, a Black Lives Matter affiliate from New York City named Darnell Moore was on Democracy Now, and he was talking about the fact that Black Lives Matter as an organization has not endorsed either candidate or whatever, or any candidate, but obviously if it was a candidate, it would be a Democratic candidate. I'll read both. In regards to not endorsing anyone, he says, I think withholding an endorsement puts the pressure on candidates to actually come up with type of policies and forms of governance that they think will actually lead to change. The withholding can produce that type of effect we think, which is basically what we had said before, putting the pressure on both candidates to actually give a fuck and not giving away the black vote for free.
Yeah. Gotta earn that shit.
And then... I feel like most people know that Bernie Sanders is probably better for black people than Hillary Clinton. And people will question, well, why are Black Lives Matter still putting the pressure on Bernie Sanders? And here is this guy's open letter to Bernie, or this is what he said about his open letter to Bernie Sanders and what, you know, people are expecting from Bernie Sanders. So he says it was a letter that really offered a critique, not just to Bernie Sanders, but for Sanders followers who really offer this point that income inequality needs to be foregrounded. But part of what I wanted to get at is that even when we think about income inequality, if we're not thinking about the ways that income inequality are racialized and gendered, we miss the mark. So for instance, when we're talking about the worker as a monolithic or sort of idea, often that worker may not be understood to be, I don't know, a black woman who is working poor or middle class. The life experiences and work experiences of, let's say, a black woman or an undocumented individual is vastly different than a white working class person. And I think these are the types of critiques that have been coming at Bernie to push Bernie Sanders and supporters to think more intersectionally about income inequality, to think about the various dynamics that come into play. Racialization, gender bias, and inequity has much to do with income inequality as anything else. And basically that's getting at the fact that Bernie's platform is highly addressing income inequality, but the fact that we need to engender and racialize the subject for it to actually benefit everybody.
A lot of African Americans are starting to call for reparations for the many years of stolen labor through slavery. Is that something that you would support as president?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it would be, first of all, its likelihood of getting through a Congress is nil.
So now we're going to go into Bernie Sanders and black people. Yeah.
Well, he's gonna do great things for like women. I think he's fine. Like, it's all good. It's fine.
What about the black woman?
I think all his policies.
The black queer woman.
His policies for women are great.
For white women.
But no, not just white women.
Okay.
But
if he's not engendering. I'm sorry, racializing the gendered conversation.
Because he's talking, I guess, yeah, he's not racializing it. But I just feel like certain policies, like if you do raise the minimum wage for if you make it 15 an hour, that like everybody is benefited. Like everybody benefits from that. Women of
what about the trans black woman who can't get a job in the first place?
He also has different policies about specifically protecting trans women of color. Like he has like, it's not addressed in his raise the minimum wage, but it's in like that, I guess, that vague political language where it doesn't point to any specific bills kind of deal, but it's just like stuff. It's like there's always like the collecting data seems to be a big deal for people, which I think guess is important, but about like collecting data about when people are assaulted by police and shot by police, and he does talk about his, the campaign does address that it is trans women of color that are really suffering. It's really interesting the way that these candidates conceptualize their issues, particularly like on the campaign page. Because when he talks about racism, he has like four ways to evaluate fighting racism. One is like environmental racism. Like he totally does address racial issues and gender issues. It is interesting that it is like separate from his class. The idea of uplifting the working class, because he does have all these really pointed ways of addressing, like discrimination that people are facing. That makes sense. Oh yeah, there's environmental. Three of them.
It's fine.
Yeah,
you can go on the website and look. Yeah. Why do you think that he separates it like that?
I don't know. I think it's the idea that, you know, once people are given access to jobs, it's like safe healthcare and schools, they'll be able to, I guess, that'll like get people able to like change their lives. Like give people resources. Like really invest. He wants to invest $1 trillion into all these, into like schools and safe housing and healthcare. Like once everybody is on the same place and has the same social security nets, they can then better their lives. I think that's his reasoning for it.
But is it built into there that everyone will actually benefit from those things?
And that I don't think so. I think
what's up with that?
I don't know. I agree with them.
That's what I would do if I was interviewing Bernie Sanders. What's up with that, bro?
Yeah, why? Did we talk about reparations? I don't know if we actually spoke the words.
No, we can. Okay, so was this 2 months ago? Maybe. Who cares?
Who cares about timelines?
In an interview, who knows where, with some dude, Bernie Sanders was asked about the topic of reparations. And if you don't know what reparations is, it's basically remittance for all of the shit that people have been through. And specifically, we're talking about black people that we've been through post-slavery, post-fucked up reconstruction, post-mass incarceration. There's just been
shitty housing, a steady
stream
things.
Of, yeah, exactly, redlining. There's just been a steady stream of fucked up shit that's happened to us. So he asked if he was like for Bernie Sanders.
Bernie, are you for Bernie Sanders?
Well, you know. I think so. He's a socialist. If he was for reparations to black people, and he said, exact quote, "No, I don't think so. First of all, its likelihood of getting through Congress is nil." I just think the word nil is so funny.
Yeah.
"Second of all, I think it would be very divisive." Or divisive, whatever. "The real issue is when we look at the poverty rate among the African-American community, when we look at the high unemployment rate within the African-American community, we have a lot of work to do. So I think what we should be talking about is making massive investments in rebuilding our cities, in creating millions of decent paying jobs, in making public colleges and universities tuition free, basically targeting our federal resources to the areas where it is needed the most, and where it is needed the most is impoverished communities, often African American and Latino." Yeah.
Man, and that would also help a lot of poor white people as well. Who are just...
But if it's not targeted to address specifically how economic trickle-down benefits white people over people of color, then it'll still keep benefiting white people more than everybody else.
Yeah. Which I totally agree. I think what kind of sells me on the reparation argument, why I'm like, oh, I guess we're assuming that everybody
thinks it's like, oh, let me just give a G to random people.
Yeah. That's so, not what... So reparations, Ta-Nehisi Coates, popular...
Writer,
academic.
Yeah.
Writing.
Good guy.
Yeah, I think he's writing like a comic book too.
What? Maybe.
Yeah, I gotta find it. It's like, that's cool. It might be for DC. I gotta look it up.
That's nice. But,
yeah, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be fun. Yeah. So he wrote this long article that I did not get all the way through.
The case for
reparations. But it's the case for reparations. It's so cool. It has like all these fucking maps and like short documentaries inside of this article.
Yeah. Oh my God.
About kind of how over time. Over time and intentionally, Black people have been slighted and denied housing opportunities, denied, you know, access to safe schools, and the basic shit you need to
be successful in this country, to pull yourself up from your quote unquote bootstraps.
Yeah, and I think even before talking about reparations, I would like to quickly address the idea that people will be like, "Why give lazy people money?" Like, so just if anyone thinks, like, they'll get into a huge
people
argument
think
with
it's
me
fucking the skit from Chappelle's Show where they just start giving out stacks and people just start buying stupid shit.
That's not how it would ever play out. Yeah,
that was a joke. That was a joke.
Yeah, exactly. And then people like took it literally. It was satire, guys. What the fuck?
Poor people are not poor on purpose.
Yeah.
That people, like, a lot, all the people living in poverty are not just choosing. They're not like, oh, you know what? You know, I could get a better job if I just up and tried. Like, that's just not how poverty works.
Not at all.
There are people who are just...
Because, like, I'm very middle class right now. Why would I want to be middle class?
I want to be fucking rich.
If I had the actual means right now to change shit up, nigga... be Bill Gates, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, there's fucking Bill Gates.
We would all be billionaires.
Yeah.
So if you can't automatically change your economic status, why do you think that poor people can? Don't you think it's actually harder for poor people to?
Like,
since they have less resources?
Food, the idea of a food desert. You have to leave your fucking town to get groceries.
Yeah.
Does that not, that has to, like, I don't think people understand what poverty is or looks like. And I fully, you know, I don't completely either.
Well, I feel like a lot of people don't want to understand because it takes away the myth that America is this great country where if you do pull yourself up by your bootstraps, everything's fine.
Yeah, and ultimately, I think it also really cuts down people's egos because I think, oh, I've worked hard. That's why I have the things I have. If these people are also working hard and they don't have something, what does that say about me?
Yeah.
Like, I think people want to feel entitled.
Causes you to check your privilege.
No one wants to fucking do that.
Yeah.
So reparations. Mm-hmm. So just like, we're not going to get into like breaking down like poverty myths and like who people on welfare actually are. Mostly white people are on welfare.
Word.
Just saying shit like that. Mostly. That'll be a good episode. But yeah, so it's
also most so Ta-Nehisi Coates do like fraud for welfare and stuff like that, like food stamp fraud.
John was saying that the moment, we said this yesterday, the moment that Black people start getting reparations, a lot of white people will suddenly be Black. They will find that one ancestor.
My great 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 grandmother was a Black.
Gazed upon a slave for long enough, and in those days that was
enough. She became Black.
So I think, oh, so why I'm sold on reparations is if you think about the way that people were intentionally targeted and harmed, denied access to resources because they were Black, I think it is a crime to not go back to those people and say, hey,
you were,
I guess the financial historical version of assaulted, you know, you deserve something for that. You deserve money. You deserve, okay, they denied you this home and now you've been living in poverty because you're like, you're living in a shitty place.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some money. Go live in a better place because you were denied a loan because you were Black.
Yeah.
Or, it doesn't make sense.
I feel like a lot of people take it as, oh, they just want handouts. But it's actually to the benefit of everybody else. Like, with poverty comes crime. If you don't want people from whatever bad neighborhood coming over to your neighborhood and fucking shit up, maybe if they had resources to live their fucking lives, like a good, healthy, sustainable life, they wouldn't be doing that.
Why don't you just, you can invest
money.
It would
be better for everybody.
Make it a good neighborhood.
Exactly.
Every neighborhood you walk through could be a good neighborhood.
Exactly.
If you invest in them, because people don't want to live in crime-ridden places.
Word.
People don't want that shit.
No, it's not fun.
So it was the idea that, okay, it's because I thought it was just a general, you know, give everybody mm-hmm. money, and I was still down with that. I'm like, yeah,
why the fuck not?
Yeah, because
get some new J's.
But it's like it's saying specifically, Ta-Nehisi Coates specifically was focusing on housing,
yeah,
and like people who were denied homes and certain loans mm-hmm. because they were black, mm-hmm. and you know, I guess. I'm not a fucking historian. I don't have the hours that he has to look through all the cases of people and how redlining works. Mm-hmm. But you can easily see the discrimination.
Yeah.
See the result. Like, you see these neighborhoods that are fucking, I don't know, like, homes are boarded up.
I want to quickly define what redlining is.
So here's a specific example of people who would be perfect recipients for...
Reparations.
In the United States, redlining is the practice of denying services either directly or through selectively raising prices to residents of certain areas based on the racial or ethnic makeups of those areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, for example, post-Civil War, a lot of black vets came back and were like, let me use... They got money, right? The GI Bill? Is that what that was?
That was World War II.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, no, you said Civil War.
Oh, I did not mean the Civil War. I'm so sorry, guys.
Interesting.
But that's like money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of...
That's like money, right?
Sam is so stupid.
We're so
a lot of black vets came back from World War II with their, like, money from the GI Bill to buy homes, and they were actively denied homes, and if you don't have a home, where do you go?
The fuck are you gonna do?
You go to the housing projects.
Yeah.
And, like, within buying a home, you're, like, giving wealth to your family or whatever, and it accumulates over time because you can pass that home along.
Exactly.
If you don't have a home, you're in a fucking shitty ass housing project.
Yeah.
And it gets passed on, and there's no wealth accumulated in the family, and shit just gets fucked up because housing projects in general are fucked up places to live. So, yeah, that's, like, one of the effects of redlining. Yeah. Man, when I realized that in, like, sophomore year, I was like, oh, that's why racism is, like, actually a thing now.
Because you can see how it affects where people live and go
today,
to school.
Right now, today.
You just walk around and be like, oh, okay, it makes sense.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that was, like, such a clear example. You could check out Ta-Nehisi Coates, his article mm-hmm. on reparations and just other things people are saying about it. But I totally think it's a good idea. And I don't know why Bernie isn't about it.
Particularly
since he says that the chance is nil. The chance of, like, anyone listening to a socialist in America was very nil.
Word.
And his campaign is doing fucking great. And also the chance of getting $1 trillion for this is very similarly nil.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like he just... Well, okay, so Hillary Clinton also said the same thing, and Barack Obama, who is black, also mm-hmm. said the same thing. None of them are for reparations.
Yeah, they don't think it's possible.
I just don't think they want white people to get mad, honestly.
They just gotta let white people get angry.
But then you lose the vote.
You lose the vote, this country goes down.
As it should.
And then...
Anarchy.
Then the people of color rise up.
Exactly. From the ashes like the phoenixes that we are.
And treat everybody fairly. And
it's exactly right.
It's a good fucking
society.
The
queer black feminist.
It's like the
make sure everybody's doing mad well.
Yeah, take care of everyone.
Yeah.
Just like post-apocalyptic landscape, but it's like everything is
great.
The dystopian utopia.
Black people take over.
Like just trash cans everywhere lit on fire, but it's like, yeah, we got welfare and universal healthcare.
And these are for the and you know what?
Free college.
Yeah, right. Free college, and people get cold. You know, if you want to walk down the street and see a nice hot trash can,
that's what trash cans are here. Oh, that's funny.
Where was this going?
Yeah.
So yeah, Bernie. That was like a big thing.
Yeah.
That people thinking like, oh, Bernie Sanders is about everything. I don't know. I guess it is. It's pretty radical. It's like one that is like extra radical.
Yeah.
And I think so long as he stays like open to it.
Well, that's why Ta-Nehisi Coates said that he was particularly critiquing Bernie Sanders mm-hmm. as opposed to like Hillary Clinton or when Barack Obama said that, because Bernie is mad radical. So it's like, goddamn, you're not going all the way radical. Oh, guess not.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it felt.
You got to keep. It's interesting because, like, Hillary also wants to do similar things, like investing in schools and such. But she has, like, she's, like, certain billions. I'm like, oh, but they both want to invest. Mm-hmm. Bernie wants $1 trillion. And then Hillary wants billions.
Interesting.
And John was like, billions is not enough money to address, like, major, like underfunded schools. And it's just, like, not enough money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like when she wanted to raise the minimum wage to $12. She's like, no, $12 is doable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, you know, if places, if $15 an hour is still living wage, and you're going to give people $12,
what does that really
you're mean? Still not doing what's necessary. Yeah. You know, people are still not making enough money to live based on a 40-hour work week.
Yeah. So Ta-Nehisi Coates talked about all of this on an interview on Democracy Now.
Because Democracy Now
this
is
episode
killing
brought
it.
To you by
funded, supported by Democracy Now. Thoughts by Amy Goodman.
Yeah, I guess they were talking about, like, Killer Mike and how he said that... He said something along the same lines of Ta-Nehisi Coates saying that we do need Bernie Sanders to specifically address racial issues, but at the end of the day, Killer Mike said that he's still voting for Bernie Sanders. And then Amy Goodman was like, so Ta-Nehisi, are you voting for Bernie Sanders?
And
he was like, yeah, I am. Because, yeah, I mean... Just because he's not perfect doesn't mean he's not the best.
He's not the best fucking person out there.
Not just the best, but also the most likely to win out of the best. Because I'm sure there's, like, mad third-party candidates who want to get everything done, but...
Yeah, they're not going to... No one's going to pick them.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck is Jill
Stein? Oh, my God.
Nobody knows.
And also... I also think he's very attractive.
What in the fuck?
I don't know
what's happening here? Why do you think that?
I have a crush on Bernie Sanders.
We should do that. Most attractive candidate.
Bernie Sanders. Because of his ideas and he's
oh, no, definitely.
A cute
because
old
of
man.
His ideas. But, like,
I wouldn't have sex with him.
Looks-wise?
But I would hug him. I think he's so cute. He's got, like, the messy hair and he, like, wears sweaters sometimes. And he has a really nice smile.
Him. Yeah, he does.
Like when he and his voice
older,
is nice.
Older pictures of Bernie, he wasn't looking too bad.
Not back at it again with the white Vans, Bernie.
His
folk album. Yeah. He's trying to be Bob Dylan.
Oh man.
He's like my English teacher. Dylan. My English teacher was like a extra a politician instead.
That's funny.
Burn.
It would probably be Marco Rubio for me though. Just on looks.
He is cute.
Yeah.
He is cute.
That's it.
Anybody else? I think Ben Carson, if he wasn't Ben Carson, if his face was different.
Should we
which
go
we'll
into Ben
to.
Carson's face?
This is the perfect time to transition.
And support Ben Carson for our next president and be awesome.
America became a great nation early on, not because it was flooded with politicians.
All right, so next up, Ben Carson's face. Our best attempts to describe Ben Carson's face.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the fuck is going on. He always looks mad tired.
Yeah.
Like, his eyes are always closed. Like, you know how people who wear glasses, like, when they're not wearing their glasses, their eyes are kind of, like, closed? Like, Hannibal Buress?
Yeah.
But when his glasses are on, his eyes are still closed.
Yeah. It doesn't change.
What the fuck does it mean?
I think he might just, like... It's not like he's squinting, though.
No, it's
because
just,
there's no effort. It's like it's like a lax
he's not
face.
Trying to open
He's not trying.
That's how little effort he's
giving.
He's
just doing the bare minimum.
Okay.
You know, that's what it looks like. Because I was going to say, oh, maybe.
And his voice is in tune with that.
It's just very.
His voice is in tune with that. And then sometimes he'll just be like, huh? Like, he'll wake up for like 1 second and then he'll just
go back
to
being like a sleep wake.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with that?
I think he might just be a tired man. He was born tired as a child.
How did he get through all the neurosurgery?
Imagine hours and hours.
How did he see?
Maybe
his eyes were closed. His eyes were closed the whole time. That's amazing.
That's why he was so amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe he didn't perform the surgeries.
Huh?
Maybe he didn't perform those surgeries.
Oh, he has
it was all
surgery.
Fraud?
He's a ghost? Yeah.
He was in the room sleeping
in the corner.
He's the Dr. Drake. No, he's not.
And then it's like...
Drake of surgery.
Ghostwriting.
Drake of surgery?
He's ghostwriting.
Neurosurgery.
Oh, just, oh, like all the... Like Drake not writing his things?
Yeah.
Oh, I understand.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Some people call him the Ambien candidate, apparently. I think that's hilarious.
I didn't know that was a thing, and
I
love
think that's
it.
Hilarious.
It so makes sense.
Did you see the clip of him at the debate 2 weeks ago? Not coming out.
I felt so bad for him. It was...
Like, what the fuck was going on?
The awkward black girl in me reached out to the awkward black man in him.
Let's explain what happened. So I don't know where the fuck this debate happened. It was before Chris Christie dropped out of the race, and they're calling all the candidates to the stage. Was that for CNN or?
It was for CNN.
I feel like
it's
for ABC actually.
It's all red, whatever. White, and blue.
Yeah, whatever.
In my mind.
So they were calling the candidates out, and they're like, Chris Christie, and Christie comes out like a fucking bull, and he's like, hey guys, I'm here. And then they're like, Ben Carson, and he walks a little bit, then he crosses his arms in front of himself, and he just fucking stands there.
He doesn't go
with
out.
That fall asleep face, and doesn't
and,
go he,
and it's the fact that the camera also moves in on him, and he's just smiling at the camera. He's just smiling.
He smiled in there instead.
It's like that sad, something awkward happens, and you're just watching the person not know that they're fucking up. And it's like, oh, no, he doesn't know.
And they call someone else, and they just walk past him, and he's still standing there. And they call Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump oddly stands
He
next
makes the
to
same
him.
Mistake.
I don't think he made the same mistake. It was like he was there with him or something
no,
like
he,
that.
No, he said he didn't. He had, like, a weird coming out, because someone else came out after Donald Trump.
Oh, because it seemed like he was
He may
just...
have seen Ben and was like, oh, this is what has to happen. I have to wait here. And then,
he looked like he started making the same face that Ben Carson was making.
He's like, I want to be.
Like, he was there for sympathy.
I want in on this.
This is fun. Let's not go out. Let's have the debate from back here.
I think he did say something like, I think we messed up. Trump is like, oh, okay. And then I think the moderator is later like, Dr. Ben Carson and Donald please Trump, please come out now. And they come out. I felt so bad for him.
That was fucking hilarious.
I just imagine, like, just. Something about him being tired makes him look like a sweet old man, like a sweet, kind person. Because he's just so tired. He's too tired to hate you, you know?
Is he too tired to hate you?
No, no one's ever too tired to hate.
He doesn't think race is a problem in America, except for the fact that we're talking about race. He's not here for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Things are worse now that Obama's in
prison. Exactly! Obamacare is slavery. He's a terrible guy.
Oh, Ben.
His eyes could stay shut for the rest of his life, for all I care.
Oh.
Fuck him and his amputee eyes, you know?
But yeah,
he's mad funny though.
He's so awkward.
He's very awkward.
Ugh.
The American dream is dead. But if I get elected president, I will bring it back bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and we will make America great again.
Now we're going to read you some things that Satan said.
Yes.
All right. We'll just go back and forth, and we'll just have a good old time.
So Satan's stance on Mexican immigrants. They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists. That was Satan himself.
Yeah.
That was Donald Trump at his campaign launch in New York City.
What the fuck is wrong with him?
Yeah, man.
They're rapists? I remember seeing a video that was like... it was like asking a bunch of Latino people what they thought about Trump, and then one guy... And like most people were like... He's ridiculous.
He sucks.
Racist. And then one guy was like, well, he has a point. And I was just waiting for this
Nigga,
kid.
Nigga, did you rape somebody? Yeah, like, what exactly. are you talking about?
Like, do you come from a family of rapists and that's why you strongly exactly. identify?
What do you mean he has
We've
a point?
We've been rapists since...
What in the fuck?
Since the get-go.
There's mad rapists here. Does Donald Trump ever say anything about any
of that?
He
doesn't care about these rapists.
What the fuck is he talking about?
I mean,
about?
Rape is inevitable
right.
to Donald Trump. It's like, oh, that's just what guys are going to do.
I feel like... he doesn't believe half the shit he's saying, honestly. I feel like he is...
I don't think he cares.
I feel like he is both a racist, sexist, homophobic, misogynist. I just think he's everything that's bad. But to a certain point, I think his talking points are solely there to reflect middle American fears.
Mm.
Like, dumb, backwoods American ideas about black people, brown people, all the people who are minorities.
Yeah.
And it's working, man.
That's
it's, like, really working.
That's why, you know... I don't want to travel around this country.
Right.
So Satan on Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly. She had blood coming out of her whatever. So this is in reference to, it's actually a longer quote. It's like she had blood coming out of her eyes, she had blood coming out of her whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So Megyn Kelly, Fox, she was like one of the moderators of one of the debates
mm-hmm.
and was apparently, I don't know, Trump felt attacked by her.
Because she was being a good moderator.
Yeah. She was questioning you on your stances.
And therefore and she's on her
period. On her period. And like...
Piece of shit.
Yeah. There's not. Oh, we need a period episode.
Yeah,
that could be
do.
Next week's episode.
Good. Satan on Planned Parenthood. It's like an abortion factory, which is terrible. What in the gray fuck is this man talking about ever?
You know, what would an abortion assembly line look like?
I don't know. I just imagine really weird noises.
Just a bunch of women farting out.
Farting out
clumps
babies.
Of cells. Exactly. Oh, no, because everything, it would be
it's a fully formed baby. It's a 2-year-old.
And then there's like a man with a knife. So, all right, so here's how it works.
Hacking away.
There's a conveyor belt of naked women on at the top. Like imagine a huge warehouse, naked women, and they fart out full toddlers who then fall
into the fiery safety
net, and now they fall onto a net that funnels them to one guy with a knife.
One knife. And one dull knife.
One real dull knife.
He's just hacking away.
As each child comes towards him, falling down this funnel, he just like slices. He's like,
should have voted for Trump. Should have voted for Trump.
And it's like, I'm a good Christian.
Yeah. Oh,
that's an abortion factory.
Yeah, that's what Planned Parenthood is. So then a couple of days ago, at the South Carolina debate, he's like, I guess he's asked about Planned Parenthood, and he's like, I'm totally against the, I'm pro-life, I'm totally against abortion or whatever, but, you know, Planned Parenthood, there are millions and millions of women who Planned Parenthood does help out, cervical cancer, breast cancer, but I would totally defund it because they're an abortion factory.
Even though it's like 3% of what they actually do.
They say it's 3%, I don't know what the real numbers are, but yeah, I would totally defund it. And then he like gives this weird head nod. What the fuck are you talking about, guy?
He was like, it helps millions of women. It does these good things for women. But I would totally defund it.
Why would you say that? Right, just don't say it.
Yeah.
So weird.
Just keep it, make it look like an abortion factory. Exactly. And it's like, it's just a strange shit thing to say.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about on Carly Fiorina?
Yes.
Satan on Carly Fiorina.
Look at that face.
Would anyone vote for that? Can you imagine that? The face of our next president?
That's like, first of all, totally sexist. Because he didn't say that about any of the male candidates. Nope. So it's like, an ugly woman can't become president. Yeah. I don't even think Carly Fiorina is conventionally unattractive or anything like that. But then also, has he seen his face? Like, have you guys seen this meme where it's like... It's like one picture of him like pursing his lips and squinting his eyes, and then the next picture somebody took his lips and photoshopped them onto his eyes. Like they made small versions of his lips, and they were like, it looks exactly the same. Like, what the fuck? Your eyes are lips, man.
Yeah.
Do we want you to be president with those lips for eyes?
It's just he needs to...
No.
You shouldn't throw, what is it, stones at glass houses?
Yes,
when you live in a glass,
live in a glass house
bathtub. I don't know the phrase. I don't know what it is.
A glass mansion. Several of them, because the nigga's rich as fuck. Okay, Satan on Muslims. Complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on. What? Complete shutdown
what do you
of
mean,
Muslims?
I'm sad you didn't do your
Oh, sorry. Complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what is going on. It's gonna be huge. That's all he ever says. We're gonna win.
We're gonna win that wall. It's gonna be 10 feet higher.
We're building a wall. Mexico's paying for the wall. They're paying. I'm not paying for the wall.
Mexico. We're gonna make Mexico pay.
All of Mexico. For the wall.
Everybody's
just giving out their pesos.
Yes. Take these.
This is for the wall.
Sorry. We've come to contribute. That's not how it's gonna fucking work, man.
Nope, not at all. That's not it at all.
Oh, so I guess those are some. I guess these are kind of hard because they're not in like the best context. But basically, Trump says some racist, sexist, homophobic, classist, ableist, transphobic.
But then
shit.
Also just off the wall too. That's what sets him apart from the other Republican candidates.
He's
just like brazen and bold and just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
He's like the definition of...
He's the greatest American troll of all time.
Exactly. That's exactly what
it is. That's the book I have to write.
It's the greatest American troll.
Greatest troll of all time.
Man, could you imagine if he just didn't believe in any of the shit he was saying? He was like, wow, I guess I really got you guys.
Imagine he's going to donate all his money to Bernie Sanders.
He was just playing.
He makes Bernie his vice president.
He was playing.
And then he dies.
America's...
He just kills himself for sacrifice. Bernie becomes president.
Oh, no.
That would be an amazing story. Exactly. Exactly.
Bernie, take these last years.
Let the hate flow through you.
Redefining marriage and telling us that marriage is not between a man and a woman. Come on, Iowa. It's nonsense. It is evil. It's wicked. It's sinful. And they want us to swallow it. You say, we have to run this bunch out of Washington, D.C. We have to rid the earth of them. Get them out of there. Ted Cruz loves God. He loves James Madison, and he's a strict constitutionalist.
Ted Cruz is also a disturbing man.
Just mad disturbing. His face also leaves me a little uncomfortable. Like, I don't trust that guy at all.
Yeah.
As far as I can throw him.
His whole, I didn't realize how religious he was.
Yeah.
So people seem to be very concerned about Muslims expressing their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
But every time someone says, to God be the glory, or thank God, like, imagine if you, like, someone...
Translated that.
Did, like, yeah, like a voiceover of someone giving a speech, and it's like, thank God. It would be mad at, like, Allahu Akbars all over the... I said it horribly wrong, definitely.
Allahu Akbars.
No. But, like, that's what it is. Anytime someone is like, oh, I thank God, that's, like, the equivalent of, like, a Muslim people saying, like, oh, like, praise be to Allah. Everyone's exactly. all so offended.
Exactly.
Like, you do it all day, every day. Right. People, like, have a blessed day, and you're still upset?
Yeah.
You're just upset about Muslim people being Muslim.
White God is better than a brown God. Yeah. You feel me?
It's just that you feel me, and I imagine, like, my hand on your knee. Like, yes, I feel you. I don't know why.
Thanks, man.
It's such a specific image in my mind.
Thanks.
But so recently, so this guy who was stumping for Ted Cruz.
Yes, yes.
Stumping is just, for those of you who aren't in on the political stupid lingo.
Just like me?
It's like someone who is like, they're like vocal and they're like a supporter and they go out and they like give speeches and they just say good things for a candidate. Like they're campaigning for them. This guy, Phil Robertson.
From the critically acclaimed show Duck Dynasty. I've never watched that.
Was stumping on Ted Cruz's behalf and said, you know what? I think we talk a lot of shit about Ted Cruz, but I think this statement kind of makes him seem like a better person.
Should I just read the quote?
Yeah, I think.
All right, so this
think
is
Ted
him.
Ted Cruz isn't for gay people. He loves gay people.
This is him talking about gay people and politicians who are rallying for gay rights in this country. So Phil Robertson said, it's sinful. They want us to swallow it, you say. They have to run this bunch out of Washington, D.C. We have to rid the earth of them. Get them out of here. Ted Cruz loves God. It was just like a rambling array of hate.
The end of the Ted Cruz
with God.
Loves God.
Yeah. Phil Robertson,
a guy who was representing.
Yeah.
So, and now I think
he was introducing him at like a rally.
So,
and then
Ted Cruz's response, which won't surprise you.
What in the?
Like, I guess it will surprise you. I'm trying to be sarcastic, but it's hard to be sarcastic sometimes.
This won't surprise you.
This won't surprise
you. This won't surprise you in the slightest. Ah, fuck.
Cruz comes out and says, "What an extraordinary human being." God makes every one of us unique, but some are uniquer. Not a word, man.
Just trying to say
than
nigger.
Others.
Sorry.
Right. What a voice Phil has to speak out for the love of Jesus. What a joyful, cheerful, unapologetic voice of truth Phil Robertson is. What in the fuck? Joyful, cheerful? Something he said we have to rid the earth
of gay people. I think Ted Cruz...
Where's the joy in that?
Must have been...
That'd be
like,
mad people dying, bro.
Yeah.
That's not joyous.
I think Ted
That's
Cruz...
genocide.
...was, like, listening to music before. He was getting himself pumped. He was listening to, like, Beyonce. He's like, okay, ladies,
get information. Oh, I'm out.
I'm out.
Joyous.
Jesus filled this man.
Man,
how
no, but
not
but in actuality, he doesn't give a fuck. No. He agrees with what he's saying, but he can't say it, so we let Phil Robertson say it for him, and it's all
and
okay.
Then and
middle
then
America will
him.
Eat it up.
Yeah.
But then they don't even like you, bro, because you're not Donald Trump.
Nah, so...
Yeah.
So that's what's going on with Ted Cruz.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. He's also the Zodiac killer, apparently.
It's a very odd meme going around claiming that Ted Cruz is the Zodiac Killer. A new report says that 38% of voters in Florida say that he may, in fact, be the Zodiac Killer.
No one knows where he was when he went to New York, California during the 80s.
The Zodiac Killer started killing people in 68. Ted Cruz was born in 1970. He was also in Canada at the time. None of it quite makes any sense, but I love it. It's just like people turning it around and being like, just calling him a shitty guy.
For all the shitty things that he says.
Yeah. Why not? Why not attribute all these false things to him, since he does the same with like Planned Parenthood and things like that?
Yeah, if you're going to lie about people's actual resources and shit, if you're going to lie to the public, we can tell lies about you.
Exactly. And a funny one. Zodiac killer ass. Out here killing people when you were 2 years old in Canada.
Shitty dick.
What the fuck?
And you have to help. Hillary Clinton will always be there for you. And just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
So we decided to leave white feminism till the end.
Because fuck white feminism all the time.
Yeah, that's where it belongs as it's a complete afterthought.
It's the asshole of everything.
Yeah, it really is.
The shit stain of
the earth. In case you guys are not sure what white feminism is, it's just like the brand of feminism that's all about women, but when, and you want to talk about like race, class, sexual identity,
mm-hmm.
it's just mad, it's just shallow ass.
So white feminism. Women for white women and for no one else.
Yeah. So Hillary Clinton, although I guess this is like, I don't even know if this is exactly white feminism per se. Basically, Gloria Steinem and Madeleine Albright, two major feminist icons.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was the first female Secretary of State?
Madeleine Albright?
Madeleine Albright.
Yeah, Gloria Steinem is just a feminist.
Yeah. They both said, one of us, I think Madeleine Albright said, there's a special place in hell for women who don't support other women. And
like, goddamn.
Yeah, she said that fuck? On stage at like a Hillary event. And then Gloria Steinem on Real Time with Bill Maher was criticizing a lot of, Bernie Sanders is doing well with young people and young women.
Because boys are with Bernie.
And Madeleine Albright was basically,
Gloria Steinem
said, you know, when you're young, you're looking at, you know, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie. And she was basically saying that, yeah, like, women are voting for Bernie because
they got some dick. Because they get some dick like this. Like, isn't there Tinder for that and, like, various other methods of getting dick?
Why would I vote for someone? To vote. I'm going to, even if I was pretending to be on the Sanders side to get some Sanders, some Bernie care. Bro dick.
Niggas do not care.
I could still vote for whoever the fuck I wanted to. I could vote
That's also true.
I could vote for Hillary and pretend that
yeah,
I was for
right.
Bernie.
Exactly. Like, the guy you're trying to get dick from is not going to be in the ballot with you, seeing that you're checking Bernie Sanders.
Exactly.
You better click that X, girl. So I can get this dick. Like, what the fuck are you talking? It was just, like, stupid.
Yeah.
It was a very unfeminist thing to say.
Exactly. And that actually, like,
reducing women's values to nothing, basically, like saying you actually don't have any values, you're thinking with your,
what kind of fucking feminism is that? Like, such a what's a very strange statement. And ultimately, like, so this HuffPost writer came on to CNN and was talking about she was voting for Hillary because she was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And just like the idea, how do you feel about this? I guess so a lot of people, like, I don't think you should vote for somebody because of their race alone, their, you know, their gender alone, their whatever alone.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think there are some circumstances in which you would vote for someone based on some form of identity. Like I forget, was it Brazil, that walk where we were talking about, like, they wanted a trans person on on the board of something?
Because
I feel like that makes sense. Like, your experiences are similar to other people's experiences, and that's why they want
you. Yeah, but then also when the time comes, whoever is running for that specific spot in Brazil, if they're like, their whole campaign is actively working against trans people, people are not stupid. They're not going to vote for that person. Like, black people aren't like running out in droves for Ben Carson because we know that he's the Ambien candidate.
He's scary.
He's not alive.
Yeah. So
it's against our greater interest.
But like, but I guess this woman's point was basically, like, you know, obviously, I'm not voting for Carly Fiorina because I don't agree with her, but I think, but she was saying that I'm voting for Hillary because I agree with a lot of her policies. That's and I valid. Think having her be a woman is also useful mm-hmm. because like it's like the example of having a woman in power is mm-hmm. extremely it's a good thing for the American conscious and kids growing up. And like
that I can agree with.
Right? That's I feel like that's the extent to which I agree.
Yeah.
Is that okay? It is looks it, good it's and not feels a good. Non-factor.
Yeah.
Her being a woman is not nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But her being a woman can't be
it's not only everything. It, yeah.
Because then that's just really irresponsible.
I agree.
Voting, what the fuck?
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, that was, like, the whole point of her argument. Because, like, people will attack Hillary supporters and be like, oh, you're only voting for her because she's a woman. And Hillary keeps bringing up that she's a woman. And, like, I don't see, I take issue with Hillary saying, like, oh, I'm a woman, so I understand this and that. Mm-hmm. Because she's, like, saying that she understands issues.
She's your abuelita.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, she's just, like, using her...
She's using her minority status as a woman to appeal to every minority exactly. status. Even though she actually doesn't care or is even proposing policies that affect those people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just think that's so silly. Or not silly, it's, like, it's malicious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's... insidious. I love that word. Because, like, I was reading an article. John read me a quote by Hillary. She's like, yeah, we were dead broke when we left the White House.
Bitch, come the fuck
she had a $5 million home.
What are you talking about?
$5 million home.
I can't believe
bitch,
she's a dead
were
broke.
You dead broke?
Wow.
And then that it was her daughter, also Chelsea Clinton, was saying that, like, oh she God. Tried to care about making money, but she just couldn't. So that's why I decided to work for my family or whatever.
The privilege.
Massive. And so that's why, you know, even if Hillary's amazing. Status is, I feel like her class privilege.
Yeah.
And cause she also has this fucking legacy in the White House.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I don't, like, I personally, even if she is the first female president, it's so shallow to me.
Yeah.
It's so, oh, here's a woman. Ta-da. It's like, here's just another.
Maybe if I was younger, I'd be like, yeah. Because that's how I felt, like, with Obama and stuff like that. But now that I see, like, a fuller picture of what these candidates mm-hmm. actually mean for actual policies that are going to be enacted, I'm like,
and yeah. what makes people people? Like, you can be a woman. You can experience this kind of... You can experience a certain kind of oppression. But then when you just have so much money...
Yeah.
And you can influence people's businesses...
Mm-hmm.
Like, they can make their little sexist backroom remarks... But they literally can't fucking touch you when you have so many resources.
Word.
It's like, okay, so they hate you because you're a woman, but also they have no power over you whatsoever.
Word.
So, yeah, her using that to relate to other people's oppression is bullshit to me.
Yeah.
Every time she says it. And that's white feminism.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
How I see it through, yeah. Hillary. Not that she, like, she'll say, she had a bunch of things about, like, women of color and trans women of color on her site.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think she gives... an actual fuck.
We'll see when she doesn't win.
Oh no.
It's like the hope in me is that Bernie Sanders will win the candidacy, but then the pessimist in me is like Donald Trump is going to be the next president of the United States. So in both realms of my head, I don't see her being president.
It's probably going to be Donald versus Bernie at the end.
You think so?
I really would hope so.
But Hillary has mad, what is it, these
honestly,
super,
can
these
I say this?
Delegates?
Yeah. If it's Donald versus Hillary, I kind of hope Donald wins. So that America just gets itself into the shit show that it is. And then we really realize, oh man, we fucked up. Like, I just want it to be rock bottom. I don't want it to be like a woo.
The thing is,
I just want it to all go.
I just don't want
But I'm having a bad day.
I just feel like, oh.
Let the hate flow
through. I don't want to lose my health care. Like, that's my fear. I don't want a Republican candidate because I feel like I'll lose my health care immediately.
Mm-hmm.
My $80 inhaler will be $300.
You're right. You're
that's
right.
$300 a month.
You're right.
And that's only for one because I take two now. One of them is fully covered. One is $80. Like, Obamacare is amazing. Why would you repeal that?
Mm. It's called Obamacare.
He cares.
It was fucking developed in a think tank under the Bush administration. The second Bush. It's not Obamacare.
Oh, well, he's
just got it passed.
Just like, well, that's important though. That is an important part
but
of it.
That is an important part of it, but like, it's literally not his idea. Like, that's how you see where the racism comes into play.
it's not his idea.
I get what you mean.
It's not even his idea.
His name is on it though.
Yeah, but he didn't call it that.
So people just hate black people.
Like officially, I don't think it's actually officially known as.
No, it's the Affordable Health Care Act.
Yeah.
It's not Obama. Why would he name it Obama?
Oh, shit. Wait a second.
So weird of him to do.
I am here being a fucking idiot. It's not called Obamacare. Wow.
It'd be so odd for him to do that.
No one at my job.
Reaganomics wasn't called that because Reagan was like, oh, I want it to be named after me, man.
It's because if it was my act, I'd be like, Shanika Care. I want it to
care.
I'm like concerned that this is a very wobbly episode.
I think it was great.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just relatable enough, you know.
Just vague enough.
Yeah, all good. This is how
this is how hoes talk about politics.
This is how hoes talk about politics.
Yes. So that's it for Fuck
It. And fuck that.
And fuck that. Yeah, combined.
Like one and the same.
Now on to
Fuck You. The segment where we talk about your lives. Send us your questions, stories, comments, concerns to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Today we have, what did he say? Oh, he said to use a nickname. Okay, so.
Vadius
Bill.
Wilbur. Okay.
Bill. Yeah. Bill writes, hey, just wanted to say I'm a new listener from Denver, Colorado, and I really enjoy the podcast. Thank you. Woo! Yeah.
Colorado.
Getting international. Denver. Yeah. Just getting national.
Mad national.
Yeah. Although we do have like one listener from Iran every week.
Yeah. Iranian listener.
It's very informative and gets me through my day at work. Thank you so much. That being said, I wanted to share the story of how I lost my virginity. So, I'm 22 now, but I was 16 when this happened, and it was senior ditch day at the high school I attended. I was a junior at the time, but who cares? My friends had already left, so I said, fuck it. So I decided to go to the 16th Street Mall, a strip mall in the downtown area of our city, to do some window shopping. So I take the bus there, knowing I'm okay if school calls, I don't live too far, I can go home and catch the call before my mom does. When I arrive, I go to the Ross and walk downstairs to the men's department and start looking around. I then notice an older Latina woman in her mid to late 30s walking around the men's sections trying to pick up guys. What's weird is every guy she approached eventually shut her down. I disregarded the situation and continued my window shopping. I had gotten to the jeans section when she had noticed me and proceeded to walk by, checking me out head to toe, repeating the words, very nice, in a thick Latin accent. I then turned, said hello, and smiled before she walked away to approach another man. She eventually got shot down a few more times before I saw her again. This time she walks up to me and strikes up a conversation. Yo, now that I look back on it, this lady was determined. Anyway, she asked me what I'm doing and if I had liked the shoes I was looking at, if I had came with anyone, was waiting for anyone, blah, 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 feeling me out until she leans in and asks me if I had a big dick. What? In my mind, I'm shocked, but I don't let my face reflect that I'm thinking, and I reply, yes. She then asked me if I wanted to have sex with her, and I said yes. At that moment, she snatched up her purse and a small statue she wanted to buy. Why was there a statue in the men's department of a pants store?
A small statue. That's like the perfect detail to include.
Yeah, just makes it all odder. We stood in line looking mad awkward. She paid for it and left. So, wow, she actually paid for it.
She wanted that statue. She was there for a reason.
She gonna rape a 16-year-old, but she still had to pay for her statue. She then asked me where could we go. I said, let's go to the bathroom in Taco Bell down the street. It's probably the worst place to have sex. No matter what Taco Bell it is, it's probably filled with like diarrhea. We started walking, and about a block or two down, I look to my left and notice an alley. I then look at her, and without saying anything, we both head towards the alley. Once we get there, we notice a small doorway on the side of the building, which was perfect. Or so we thought. She then tells me to pull my dick out, gets down and starts giving me head, stops and says, you do have a big dick. Hands down, best head I've gotten till this day.
Whoa.
It's all weird. Anyway, midway through she stops back up with my dick still in hand, jacking back and forth. She asks if I have a condom. I said yes, pull one out and put it on. At least you were ready. She then turns around, pulls her pants down and grabs my dick and pulls me inside of her.
We're about 2 or 4 minutes in when a black car drives down the same alley riding by right in front of us before pulling off. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe all this was happening at once. Like, what the fuck? But I didn't stop.
He just kept going. Yeah,
wow.
He's just looking into like the eyes of the driver like, sorry, man. we keep going a little while longer. After all, I was a virgin, and she pulls my dick out and puts it back in. I had assumed it was anal, and I had came.
Whoa.
Damn.
Wait, so he didn't know where his dick was?
Yeah. After she took the condom off of me, tied it in a knot, and placed it in her pocket, which threw me off, so I asked for it back. Like, why did she put it in her pocket?
Can I have that back, please?
She gave it back and told me not to throw it anywhere around here. We walked back to the main street, talked for a while, and parted, and I never saw this woman again. It's crazy, but I always look back and envy my peers because they all lost their virginity to someone they knew, loved, or cared for, and I just technically got raped. Older women or not, I think I would have preferred to lose it to someone I had loved, but as a boy, being a virgin isn't the most popular thing. So that's the end, and I encourage more guys to wait and lose it to someone who means something rather than just throwing it away like I did. Thanks. Hey, let me know your thoughts. Sorry, no, he just says. Oh, well, hey, let me know your thoughts, if any, and let me know if you got this email or not.
Yep.
We got the email.
We got the email.
Thanks, man.
Wow.
That is heavy.
I don't know what to...
Who the fuck was that lady?
Yeah, who was she?
Like, what was she doing? I feel like she was kind of like, she might have been like incapacitated in some sort of way. Like, seemed like she was high or something like that. Like, she was hitting on everyone in a pants store.
Store.
I don't know why I keep calling it a pants store. Why was the statue there?
She was buying a statue. What the fuck? Wanted to keep the small statue.
Yeah. Was she like trying to? How does semen work? Could you get pregnant from that?
I think not after a while, after a certain point of time.
Like, what if you, like, right? Turkey baste it?
But I feel like you can freeze it and reuse it. But I feel like you have to keep it good or whatever. Like, you have to keep it,
I don't know.
Because you can...
Like,
I don't know. I don't think you can just get pregnant from old... Semen is living... It's mad living things.
But how long does it live for? Because she might have just had the turkey baster ready to go, you know? I don't know either.
I feel like it was probably still okay.
What?
Because he's like, once it's like a guy ejaculates and then it swims up there and it's still alive, all the other little semen that's globbing around is still trying to swim up to the egg. It just fucked up and couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's, I don't know. I feel like it's also like a temperature thing as well.
Yeah.
Gotta look at the lifespan of semen.
Yeah, right. Aside from that, don't like the fact that she did that. To this
young boy.
Yeah, he was only 16. And like he said, being a virgin isn't popular, so...
It's the pressure to just...
Yeah, exactly.
It.
Exactly. Probably, like, went back to his friends, like, yeah, I just got some coon, bye.
Except it just... You know, you don't know where her mouth could have been.
Yeah.
It's mad, just... It was unprotected sex.
Yeah.
Could have had anything. Okay. And if she had given him something, you know?
That would be really irresponsible on her part.
And it's like, well, yeah. He was a young... I don't... Like, this is when, like, the age of consent gets strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, like...
He did say yes, he was 16. Yes, I'm so sure that he looked 16 to this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he
And then also, like, if she did put... If she, like, did take it out and put it in her butt, it's like, he didn't consent to that. Like, what the fuck? You can't just put things in places without saying anything.
Yeah, it's like maybe it's the power thing, like someone being intimidated and scared into a sexual act, not quite saying no, but just not really understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
Cars driving by.
It was a wild time.
It's like scary to me.
It was a wild time.
And then the end, the lose it to someone you love or whatever.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I would love for everyone to, first of all, like, we should talk about virginity on the show because I don't think it's something that you lose.
You just make a debut.
It's sometime, the first time you had sex. You're not really losing anything. You're not, like, less pure or anything like
you're
that.
You're not giving anything away.
Exactly. You're not taking anything from anyone.
You're having a new experience that
exactly.
People place a lot of...
Yeah.
Across the world.
But I would love for everyone to have sex for the first time and, like, first of all, not something that's, what's this called? Statutory rape. And... doing it so because they feel pressured by society
to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be with someone you love, but
I'd love for it to be a better time.
Do it when you
when you actually want to.
When you want to have sex with the person, they also would like to have sex with you.
And isn't.
And it's not rushed. It can be when you're 26. Yeah, that is what it was.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's creepy, strange, and irresponsible and, like, scary of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was sexually assaulted.
Who was that predator?
I don't know what. Yeah, she was, preying on people.
Yeah.
And then she finds someone who was vulnerable. And she, and it happened. Yeah.
Know? Fuck her and her
especially
small
since, because if she had given him something that he couldn't get rid of, I don't know what you can, I don't know what the.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that would suck.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should have sex whether you're 26 and it's the first time you have sex or you're.
Or if you never want to have sex ever, that's okay too.
Yeah, you never have to, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, that was a story.
Yeah.
That was a good story.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us. That was mad. That was a very intimate story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no judgment.
Yeah. Nah.
It's maybe just that woman.
Yeah, fuck her and her small statue. What was that statue? Write us in and tell us, like, what was that?
A giant dildo. Was a euphemism.
Imagine if it was just, like, a smaller pair of pants. Like a bronzed pair of pants.
People go just to buy pants and to appreciate pants. That's it.
I really love pants.
That's it for the Inner Ho Uprising. You can check us out in several places. Where are we, Sam?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at @slam_pow. We're on Facebook and YouTube at @slam_pow_productions. I personally am Slam Ridd, RIDD, on Instagram and Twitter.
I am,
nobody.
Totally Ben Carson just now. I'm Shanika Powell on Instagram, SHANIKAPOWELLLLLLLLL.
All the L's.
It's just two L's, POWELL.
Yes.
And you can follow me on Twitter at @ShanPowell4.
Woo!
And also,
sorry.
And I was going to say, if you just want to talk to us about things, please email us.
Yes.
We like your stories and hearing from you. A lot of you guys are very sweet and encouraging.
Yeah.
We need it.
Keep it going, because our lives suck.
Yeah, man. And Lucas!
Yes, Lucas.
Abstract Fish Co. If it's social media, I'm probably on it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Fuck with me on Twitter, boys.
Whoa, yeah.
Whoa. Instagram.
Whoa, yeah.
And,
yeah, you should. It's all fun. It's all fun. It's about it. It's fine. So is mine.
You send us your stories, we'll make short videos of them.
Yes, yes.
You want your story. You want me and Sam to reenact your best and worst moments.
Yeah, look how funny we are. Imagine how funny we'll be on video.
Real funny.
Real funny.
Ha ha ha. Now, leaving you with something, a little something sexy.